And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben on a Friday, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And joining us in studio right out of the gate.
Me.
Well, yeah, whatever, Ben.
Oh.
She covers the Utes for KSLSports.com. She does join us on Fridays, but it's awesome to have her in studio. Michelle Bodkin. What's up, Michelle?
You know, just kind of slowly starting to wrap things up for this competitive season.
That's
in college
nice
sports.
For you.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
You've been busting it. That's good, though. It's great stuff.
Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Should be proud.
Let's talk about the Utah men because they are still playing.
Yes.
So good for the Utah men. They've gotten farther in this than I expected, but they played three home games and they win at home.
They do win at home.
And now they've got to go on the road and play at Indiana State. I don't want to dismiss, you know, the hard part about this is they haven't played well on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They've been good at home. So we don't know what to expect, and Indiana State's one of the one seeds in the NIT tournament. So I want to address some of the other stuff going on with Utah, which is the rumor that Davon Smith is entering the transfer portal, Raleigh Wooster's entering the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Are these guys... Explain the modern transfer portal for me, because in the past it was like, well, they're gone.
Yeah.
And like Kyle Whittingham used to be like, if you put your name in the portal,
you're gone.
You're gone. You can't come back.
There.
And now really it's just like, oh, I'm having an exploratory conversation about how much money I can make on the open market. Is that what is happening with these guys? And would you expect an opportunity that they could be back? And would Utah welcome them back?
So with Raleigh, I've kind of heard it both ways. I suspect he will be gone. That's the impression I'm getting. Davon, my understanding is, like, he's going to have suitors, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he's not. But I think at least as of right now, Utah feels like they'll keep him, they'll retain him. And I think that makes sense with what I've heard so far about Raleigh. You know, Raleigh has started for Utah. He would not be starting for Utah if both he and Davon stayed. Davon is going to be the starter. So, and I understand that from Raleigh's perspective, right? Davon, I think he does want to get paid, but I also think he does really appreciate how things have gone at Utah. This is the first time he's really kind of been a star and blown up and fit well. And I think he really likes his teammates. I think he really likes Craig Smith. I think he really appreciates how everybody kind of worked with him and stayed with him with the waiver mess. So I think there's a lot of things working in Utah's favor on that. But, you know, we'll just see. Got stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
Things have looked one way and then they go completely the other way with the transfer portal and NIL. But as of right now, that's kind of the feeling I've got. And we'll see how this progresses. Obviously, I don't think we're really going to hear anything or know anything for sure, until they're done in the NIT.
All right. I think Utah basketball is in a really interesting position. And let me throw this at you and see what you think, because I've kind of been going over it in my brain. So the team is going to turn over a lot because of the reasons you're laying out, not to mention, you know, graduation and all that stuff. So... I'm thinking about Craig and his tenure at Utah, and I'm thinking of it from the standpoint of like building, which is traditionally how we've thought about it. All right, you get it started in year one and you build on that in two and build on that in three. And then, you know, at that point you're thinking, you know, depending on what sport you're talking about, but in basketball, you know, you're thinking, all right, NCAA tournament competing in conference by that point. Well, Craig's at that point of his run where he should start competing. I mean, that's what expectations are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny part about it is I don't think that building thing, I don't think that exists anymore in college basketball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So our timelines as expectations are totally out of whack, which is actually weirdly good news for Craig because of the way the sport is. Like, you can turn over a roster. If Danny Sprinkle proved anything, you could turn over a whole dang roster and be really good. Mm-hmm. You just have to find the right dudes and then coach them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, what do you think's the plan, I guess, is what I'm asking, or your assessment of the situation they're in?
I think you're right. It is an interesting situation, right? And it's interesting also from the standpoint of Craig Smith started this process before we kind of made this really crazy switch.
And, that's true.
You know, yeah, so it's he's true. Kind of been caught in the middle of, I'm trying to do this the right way, right? I'm trying to rebuild a culture. I'm trying to set expectations. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you open up this transfer portal and throw NIL in there and it kind of jacks up trying to run things that way. And I know that Craig has mentioned, he hasn't gone into detail, but he's mentioned to the media a couple of times, you know, we're going to rethink, we're going to, you know, kind of retool what we do in this off season. Don't know exactly what that means, but I would suspect it's thinking kind of a little bit more along those lines, right? Who can we bring in immediately to get the results that we desire right now?
Yeah.
A little bit more so. I think he's still going to stick with, I think he has typical characteristics and traits that he looks for in guys. I think he's a guy that doesn't want any issues or problems. So I think there is still going to be kind of that culture piece, but I think they might be a lot more aggressive moving forward in trying to find guys that can win now rather than, you know, trying to build this thing slowly and build a dynasty. It's going to be a little bit more, oh gosh, what do we call that in fashion? Like throwaway fashion. Like it's quick. It moves over really fast. Yeah.
Unlike cardigans.
I love cardigans.
Ben, I didn't mean to step
Jake
on you
should
there.
Throw away most of his wardrobe, but yeah, he's the old-fashioned coach. It's like, maybe next year they'll come together.
Maybe they always come together.
Okay, so if Davon Smith comes back, and it sounds like I will say you're a little optimistic about it. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it sounds like you would know better than I would, certainly.
Leaning towards that.
Where is that as a base? I mean, he was good this year. He was really good. He's not perfect, but he was far better than he's ever been before at any of his previous stops.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes back, I mean, a senior guard who puts up triple-doubles is not a bad place to start for Craig Smith.
No, I think that's a great selling point, right? And obviously you're going to have to find a replacement, and I say this in quotations, like a replacement for Brandon Carlson, right? Like, you're never going to find another guy quite like that because he just has a very unique set of talents that you're not going to find every day. But like, you need to find a guy like that to bring in and supplement what Davon does. And I think that's a really easy pitch. Hey, look, we have this guy. He's a triple-double machine. He's an assist machine. He rebounds like crazy, plays off the ball really well, can move it around, pass it around, that sort of thing. Like, that's going to be very enticing. If you get Kata to stay as well, you know, that's another great foundational piece. So, you know, it's going to be about keeping, I think, the right guys intact. I think they have a really good base to work with if it stays intact, right? Like, if people start leaving and going elsewhere, then it starts getting a little bit tricky. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the donors that kind of feed into their NIL react to that. Are they going to get mad and be like, hey, we're going to throw as much money at this as possible so we can rebuild and do what we want to do? Or is it going to be this is such a waste of time and I'm not giving money to this?
So Enfield is moving on from USC. Right, he's headed to, where's he going?
SMU. Go Mustangs.
And, you know, there's a commit to USC, Brody Kozlowski, which, man, I wish Kristen would come and jump on a broadcast so I could ask her. But do we know what Brody's going to do? Because he's a big in-state recruit. They just won the state title, and that's got to be up in the air. He was Enfield's recruit. He was going to USC. Is that maybe somebody Utah can get in on? Or have you heard anything about what he's going to do?
You know, I would have to talk to his uncle. I know his uncle quite well.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I haven't talked to anyone about that. I know when he was being recruited, like part of what he really loved about the idea of going to USC is like he just wanted to do his own thing, right? Like the Kozlowskis are very much a BYU family for the most part. His uncle was the weirdo that went to Utah and played football.
Yeah. Kristen works for BYU
yeah,
TV.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, his uncle's like, you and Kristen look an awful. You guys look like you're related. So.
Oh, I don't know if I. Let me think. I could
yeah,
see
hey,
that.
Yeah,
Kristen, we just had a big meeting about this. Let's not.
Sorry.
Cut it off there.
People who look alike?
Yeah. No.
No.
Heaven forbid.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
But anyway, like, but part of what drew Brody to USC is just doing his own thing and not necessarily wanting to do what either side of the family's kind of done in the past. And my understanding is he's a bit of a surfer dude at heart. So he loves the idea of being near the beach and doing that, some of that kind of stuff. Hmm. So I, at least based off of that, I don't know that he's going to move, but maybe if he doesn't like the new coach, you know, there's always, you know, that
there's
kind of possibility.
That.
So, you know, maybe something to kind of watch, but that's not something that's been on my radar either.
Yeah. Staying local is a funny thing.
Hey, the other
some want to do it, some don't. Yeah.
And the other name I think a lot of Utah fans have circled is Mason Falslev, who was a Utah recruit. I'm sure has some relationship with Craig Smith, right? Because there's Utah State ties there. Maybe there's not. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I know his recruiting story was very interesting.
Yeah.
Pre-mission, post coming back and committing to two Utah State coaches to stick around. Do you think they will look at Utah State as a chance to wrestle some kids away who may now want to enter the transfer portal because they're losing their head coach in Danny Sprinkle?
I think that's a strong possibility. I mean, those kids are already here. And I think what Danny Sprinkle kind of built in year one at Utah State is I think a lot of those guys are probably guys that Craig would feel like he could probably work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see some Utah State guys potentially at least being in conversation with Utah, whether it goes anywhere or not, you know, that's a whole different story, but I could see that being someplace that Utah maybe looks to tap into and see if they can't, you know, bring some guys in.
Take us through what happened to the women's basketball team in Coeur d'Alene. And that's one of those stories that's not only gone national, but is news and not sports news. But take us through what happened before that game.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, when I got there on Friday and was hanging out, or no, not Friday.
They played Saturday. Friday, right? Or did they play Saturday?
Was it Saturday?
They played
now
Friday.
I don't remember. I don't remember anymore.
I think they played Friday.
It was the same night as the Jazz game. I know that.
I think they played Friday. Anyway. Maybe you got there Thursday. I can't remember.
I can't.
Regardless.
Regardless. So I showed up the day of their game because it was a late game. I'm sitting in the like holding area. And like the thing about women's basketball is like they are a very like friendly program, right? Like and part of that they want the media to come.
They're very
and
accessible.
Stuff. They're very accessible.
Very much.
And I noticed though that a lot of the group was kind of like the wagons were circled a little bit more, and I didn't think a whole lot of it because it's like, you know, you're here if you don't win games, you're out, right? Like, so it's, you know, I'm sitting here thinking that it's about that. Fast forward to the next game with Josh Furlong there. He's the one that asked the question, got the tip. And my understanding, Josh and I have talked a lot about, you know, what went into all of that. And he kind of mentioned that he got this tip that they moved, but he didn't know why. Huh. And so he asked the question. And I think everybody in the room, the minute that Lynn said Coeur d'Alene, we're like, uh-oh, we know where this is going.
Yeah.
That's not good. And it just really kind of took the air out of the room. And Sharmell Green was standing in the room. Mark Harlan was standing in the room. And afterwards, it was just like everybody just kind of silently looked at each other. Because it was like, what do you say to that? And it's one of those situations, like, I feel so, so awful and so, so terrible, like, because I know what that feels like. I've had situations with boyfriends where people have said some things, like, right in front of me.
Sure.
That's scary. And when I worked with the Salt Lake Stallions, we had a game in Birmingham, Alabama. That's another sure. place that you go, okay, yeah, know where that's going.
Right.
But so it was at Legion Field. Legion Field had not been used in years and years and years. And there was just like this flimsy chain link fence separating us from fans mm-hmm. as they were going into the locker rooms, and the massive fans that were swarming on this gate and like moving it, pushing it and screaming like the worst, most horrible things. And you're just hoping and praying you get to the locker room before that gate collapses. Like, it was terrifying. So it's I know what that feels like. I have a pretty good idea of what that situation felt like to those women. And it's just shameful. It's so shameful that people think that they can speak to others like that, or that something like that even matters or makes a difference, because it doesn't.
Yeah, it's embarrassing for Gonzaga. It's embarrassing for Coeur d'Alene. It's embarrassing for the NCAA. And I get that it was a last minute thing, but you can fix it. They don't need to schedule, you know, they yeah. don't need to put, yeah. they don't need to host you know, teams in those areas.
It was a lack of common sense, I think, on their part. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of what develops, what comes from this, if they figure out who it is. But
moving forward, and not to move past, you know, this terrible situation. Yeah. Alyssa Pele is the best player in Utah women's basketball history. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's up for question. She's gone. Mm-hmm. What is next for Lynn Roberts and this staff? Because, look, and I'm not debating Lynn's not yeah. a good coach. She's a very good coach.
Yeah, yeah.
But good coaches win with good talent. Mm-hmm. So they're losing the best player they've ever had. What does the future of this Utah women's basketball program look like?
You know, I think it's still really bright. They're kind of in a similar situation as Utah men's basketball. Like, Alyssa Pele is very much the Brandon Carlson to the women's team. And so you're going to have to figure out someone to bring in that kind of can fill that gap. And again, you're not ever, because Alyssa, just like Brandon, very, very different kind of skill set for the position that she plays. But so you do your best to kind of fill that in. But you do have Gianna Niepkins. You have Maddie Wilkie, that I think was showing some really great things later on. Inesh Vieira really kind of stepped up her game this year. And then, of course, you still have Kennedy McQueen, Jenna Johnson. So I think you have a really good, strong core. It's just a matter of finding those, like, one or two pieces to bring in to kind of supplement. But I expect them to still be very, very good in the coming year.
Seems like spring ball's been pretty quiet. Was there any, I mean, in like a good way, right?
Yeah. Well,
what is usually the big news that comes out of spring ball are like injuries
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, and this is also true for fall camp. Like, the quieter, the better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the quiet doesn't necessarily mean bad, but what are the big storylines? What is probably the biggest news up there?
I would say probably the three for me is seeing Cam and Brant kind of knocking off the rust, that it seems like they're doing okay. They're right where they need to be, should be. So that's great news. Then you kind of look at that QB2 battle, and it sounds like that's going really well, and it's been really entertaining. It's kind of a bummer that, like, nobody can really see what's going on, but it sounds like Brandon Rose and Isaac Wilson are really competing well, and that hopefully the 2 and 3 situation this year will be considerably better than it has been in years past. And then, of course, kind of having to replace your entire defensive backfield.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, by all accounts, that's going really well, too. They recruited some great guys to bring in, you know, to supplement this year. They also have some guys that have been in the program for a little while. Teo Johnson's the one that kind of pops instantly to mind. Smith Snowden as well, that have been in for a little while and are now starting to kind of figure out how they belong, what they need to do. So it's those are kind of the big storylines for me. You're right. It sounds like they've had some bumps and bruises, but it's not anything like last year where it's like, oh my gosh, like, what are we gonna do, sort of thing. So I'm optimistic on that front. We'll see how it goes. I expect this team to be very, very good this year. And I think they know they have the chance to be very, very good. But, you know, obviously there's a little bit of luck involved in that as well. So,
what role is Isaac Wilson's reputation going to factor in? Not to Kyle Whittingham's decision. He doesn't care. He's notorious yeah. for not caring about those politics. But the fact that Isaac Wilson is who he is because they whiffed on his brother, because his brother was a number two overall pick, because his brother is one of the five most talked about athletes in the country, it seems like, over the last 2 years, just because of everything that's happened in New York. Like,
yeah,
there is just a lot of weight that comes in with that story with Isaac Wilson. Have you gotten a sense of that already at camp? Like, does he have the Tim Tebow thing where it's like, if he's around, he's going to be talked about? Do you get a sense of that with Isaac Wilson, or do you think that's going to get tampered as the season gets closer?
You know what? I've actually been really, really surprised. I feel like he's just another guy there. That's not what I was I was expecting kind of that buzz and stuff. And like, I mean, here's the thing, like, I've seen Mike up there. I've seen Zach up there.
Lisa's been up there.
Yeah. So it's, you know, but it's like, it's just been very, very subdued. I get that there kind of is this whirlwind around this family, around Zach, and all that kind of stuff. But I think from what I've heard and what I've been told, like, Isaac is very much about, I don't want that noise around me. Like, I want to earn this on my own merit. And I think people have been respecting that, which is very refreshing, because I don't think that usually happens in that case. So, you know, I mean, obviously, I guess if we start getting into the injuries that we saw last year, then like maybe that picks up a little bit. But I think everybody knows, everybody understands this is Cam Rising's team. And Isaac's here to earn either being his backup and then maybe possibly being QB1 the next year. And that noise, I think that noise might be a little more prevalent next year when he's actually battling for the starting job rather than the backup job.
I hadn't thought about that Michelle is now on the Lisa Wilson beat.
She is.
You know, Mitch has had to write about some weird stuff over the years. You're going to get to dive into that pool. Good for you.
You know what? I'm like really hoping that we keep, again, it stays quiet. It's been very quiet.
Is she still Instagram celebrity? What do you call those, Ben?
An influencer?
The talk tickers?
She's a talk ticker.
I don't think she's on talk tick.
Is she still talk ticking all over the place? Is that still a thing?
I don't think so. I think she is still on IG.
I think she's still on Instagram. I think she's been a lot more subdued as of late. And I think it's because a lot of the antics kind of blew up in ways that probably shouldn't have.
But they were entirely predictable. This isn't good. This isn't good for her brand. She can't go away. She's got Michelle on the beat now. Come on.
We need a Tonya Harding situation with Cam Rising.
Whoa. Out of line, Ben.
I'm not saying she's going to do it. I'm just saying we need Isaac to get a chance to win that starting job.
We're having a couple of laughs about Lisa the influencer, and Ben's going right to assault with the deadly
Tonya
weapon.
Harding.
Okay.
Pipe to the knee.
Michelle.
Dump that.
Michelle, I for one am glad to see you. I'm sorry for having to end this way.
My goodness, relax.
Oh man, Sarah, are you as caught on? Like, are you as taken aback as Michelle and me?
I think it's time to go to break.
Yeah. We'll have more next, maybe. 97.5. No, Michelle, seriously, thank you.
Thanks,
keep up
Michelle.
The great work. You're the best. More next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Miss independent, miss self-sufficient. Keep your distance. Miss unafraid. Miss out my way. Miss don't let a man interfere. No.
miss on her arm. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. It's time for the top three stories of the day. KSLSports.com, brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall, the other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where do you want to start today?
Number one, the Jazz host the Rockets tonight.
7:30 tip-off. Remember that, Jake. Don't show up at 6.
I know.
Tip-off's at 6:30. I know. Rockets are the hottest team in the NBA. They've won 10 straight. They are a game back of the Golden State Warriors. They need Golden State to slip up. Golden State keeps winning these tough road games. They beat Miami. They beat Orlando, even without Draymond Green. The Rockets are doing nothing but winning, but they still just can't quite overtake Golden State. But this is a must-win game for the Rockets. It's a not-must-win game for the Jazz. Jordan Clarkson out. Lauri Markkanen questionable. Chris Dunn returns from a two-game suspension.
I think the Rockets are playing incredibly well right now. I'm really shocked. And I mean shocked because I didn't know Jalen Green was capable of being this good.
Yeah.
If you're the Rockets, what are you doing with him in the offseason? If you don't know the full story, right, Ben, he's eligible for his rookie extension this offseason. The rumor is Houston's been waffling about whether or not they want to invest in him going forward. There was a rumor around the trade deadline that he might be available.
Widely available, yeah.
Didn't get a whole lot of bites. And so now I'm curious as to your thoughts what Houston does in this situation with him.
I think both sides will benefit from waiting because I don't think Houston is probably comfortable enough giving him whatever contract they want to offer. And I think he wants to wait and show, yeah, I'm a max player. And maybe I can even hit some of those things. If he continues to play this way, like legitimately he's averaging 30-plus points a game, it seems like, over his last 10 since Alper and Şengün went out. Can he even qualify to make more money after his rookie contract?
Now, careful, Ben. Careful. Throwing around the old max contract label. Because this is the rookie extension, meaning we're not talking max money. We're talking about significantly less.
This is the good max contract that you want to pay guys.
So remember, the bar on max contracts for rookie extensions is actually really low. My guy, who I think is maybe the NBA's greatest agent, Maxur Gould, got Enes Kanter a max extension on his rookie deal. Because it's a no-brainer.
It is pretty easy to pay.
To sign that contract with somebody who you even think might be good because it's really not that much. And you can always trade those guys. I mean, Golden State was able to trade Wiseman somehow because there's always another franchise who goes, well, that dude's the number two pick. Houston must have just messed it up. And so I think it's a no-brainer. I think it was a tough decision before where you think like, meh. But now you see him play well. At very least, the rest of the league seen him play well. I think now you sign that max extension, no problem. Now if you're Jalen Green, I might sign as short as extension as I possibly can. But, man, I'm signing that thing. Or maybe he doesn't have faith in himself and he thinks he actually does stink. And in that case, you sign it for as long as you can.
Well, and you can do the thing right where you can get a bigger contract if you make certain, if you hit certain plateaus or certain, you know, you get certain end of season awards. If he's playing like this, he can think he's an all-star or think he's an all-NBA player or most improved
but
or whatever.
But he's eligible for the extension this year. Now, he could Gordon Hayward it and go into the last year, but that
right,
is
he could wait a year.
That is risky.
But he might make a whole lot more money if he waits because he could get that bonus of having made certain
All-NBA teams?
All-NBA. He will be the front runner for most improved player next year if he continues to play like this. And the Rockets are already getting a Valper and Şengün. They're a max contract this offseason as well. I kind of suspect they will both wait.
Well, maybe.
That's my guess.
If I'm Jalen Green, I'm jumping at it.
Because maybe he does. Maybe he thinks this is a blip.
Because he's not the best player on the team.
He is irrational. It's kind of the good thing about him, and he probably does think he's the best player on the team.
He's not better than Şengün.
I don't think so either, but he may believe he is. A lot of young guys do.
All right. No, he needs to call Jamal Murray and say, how great is it to play with a guy like that? And then say, okay, I'm going to sign that max deal. There's no way he makes All-NBA next year. And you're going to bet you're going to make most improved player? Which it's still ridiculous that the media has anything to do with the amount of money that these people make.
Agreed. But you can do it. You can get it for all sorts of different awards. I mean, you can get it for... You can get raises, not even just making All-NBA. Like, there's weird ways to do it. And honestly, I'd have to go back and look at all the different ways. But I think there's a real chance he doesn't sign it. If I were the Rockets, I would offer it to him. I would offer him the max.
I would, too. If I were him, I'd probably jump on it.
I suspect they probably will.
No way he makes All-NBA next year. Not a chance.
I don't know. If he's this good, if this is real, then it's very possible he could.
No, this is
and
not.
And they make the playoffs?
This is Donovan Mitchell as a rookie. This is a team that needs somebody, anybody, to shoot the ball.
But he is in his, he'll be going into his fourth season next year. So it's, I mean, it's a little
but
different.
But he's showing
than
he
Mitchell
can
situation.
Do it. I'm not trying to downplay what he's doing. He's showing that he can beat, you know, good teams by doing it. And so he deserves credit for that. But what are you talking about? What's real? I mean, he's getting the ball every possession. That's what's real.
And maybe they just do that forever. Maybe they recognize, hey, he's good enough to do this. His last 14 games, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 3.5 assists, shooting 49% from the floor, 43% from three. If you do that for a season, you're All-NBA.
He's not doing that for a season. No way.
He may bet
not
that he
on,
could.
Well.
And that's why he doesn't sign the contract now. Because well, if he makes All-NBA and does that, if he does that, he's All-NBA. And if he's All-NBA, he makes more money.
Well, then he has a terrible agent. Because he's got to know that, like, Houston's going to say, no, Shangoon's going to play. He's going to take a bite out of you because he's awesome.
The NBA's new collective bargaining agreement introduced eligibility criteria for the league's major end-of-season award accolades, et cetera. You got to play the 65 games. But, again, it creates the opportunity, I think, for him to get a raise. We'll see. Maybe he doesn't.
All right. What's next?
Number two, the NCAA tournament continues tonight.
Good games last night. I know we had talked about that maybe not being a great night of basketball. There were a bunch of really good games
last night. I'm so depressed. I don't even want to talk about it.
Why? What are you sad about?
Well, I had North Carolina going a long way.
I had them in my Final Four.
They stink.
I had Bama upsetting them.
Oh, did you really?
Wow. Shout out to Sarah. Way to go.
Bama had a great win. I think looked great last night.
I think what's left of the Pac-12 fan base was probably pretty bummed about Arizona. The Big 12 fan base is probably pretty bummed about Iowa State.
I'm feeling great about UConn.
The Mountain West Conference fan base that we talked to is probably pretty bummed about San Diego State.
I'm feeling great about my UConn choice. They're beating everybody by 30. They have not been in a game yet.
Well, San Diego State's problem is they can't score. That's always their problem. And so if you beat their defense, then they're tostada. And that's what happened with UConn. San Diego State didn't stand a prayer of stopping them because they are that good offensively. And then, you know, 52 is like on the high end for San Diego State. You know what I mean? I wonder when the last time San Diego State got to 82 points against a decent opponent.
Shout out to my guy, Grant Nelson of the Alabama Crimson Tide. He has, A, played himself into the NBA draft. Maybe he was already there. He was awesome last night. He was absolutely incredible in this game. 24 points, 12 rebounds, bunch of blocks, 6 of 9 from the floor. 24 points on 6 of 9 shooting is awesome. Fun players. Fun to see this... this tournament start to evolve and have some of the stars show up. And then you're right. Tonight's games, NC State at Marquette, Gonzaga at Purdue. It's going to be a fun one. Excited to see how Zach Edey plays. Duke at Houston, Creighton at Tennessee. A big game for us. This is our championship game, Jake.
It is. It's probably going to determine who comes out on top.
Because you have Tennessee winning it all.
Yes, I do.
And I have Creighton losing to UConn in the championship game.
By the way, the last time San Diego State scored 82 points, January 13th.
Mm. Who'd they play?
New Mexico.
Oh, okay. It's a good opponent.
So there you go. They scored 81 against the Aggies. The things you know, Ben. The things you need to know. All right, what's next?
Number three, the transfer portal is heating up.
I'm very curious what happens with Utah State. And then we just talked to Michelle in the first segment about what happens with Utah men's basketball. Ideally, they're buyers, and it would be a real setback if you lose both Davon Smith and Raleigh Wooster. It sounds like Wooster's gone, but you got to hope that Davon Smith, who can come in, have success in your program, set a Pac-12 record for triple-doubles, you're going to a better basketball league. If you lose that guy, that's a real red flag that people don't want to be here.
I think we, and I will have a tough time getting over this, I'm sure, but we as a collective need to now get over who is leaving and need to focus on more who is coming, because we got to get more. We've got to get used to everybody's leaving, or assume that everybody's leaving. Either they're going to get cut by the coach, which actually I would bet is the majority, or they're going to have a good season and go somewhere else. Like we talked about it yesterday. Why is Falsalev leaving this year but not last year? Well, he put a bunch of great tape out there. And so now somebody else, I mean, we wouldn't be shocked if he went to Washington. We wouldn't be shocked if he went to Utah, who's now a Big 12 school. I mean, we wouldn't be shocked if he ended up, you know, somewhere else, right? So either way, like no matter where you are as a program, unless you're at the very top, you're going to lose players on both ends of the spectrum and probably a lot of them. If you have a bad season, they're probably going to cut a lot of guys. If you have a good season, you're probably going to lose more to whatever bigger school is out there.
Yeah.
For every Utah and BYU, there's a Kansas. For every Utah State, there's a whatever.
Right. I mean, yeah, and those big schools will knock on the door of Daywon Smith and say, hey, we want a triple-double guy.
Look at Great Osabor. Started at Montana State.
Yeah.
Had an even better year at Utah State. And then now he's going to end up probably in the Big Ten. Probably making a bunch of dough, I'm guessing.
Yep, absolutely. So,
Mountain West player of the darn year. And by the way, Montana State, even though they weren't all that good, still won the Big Sky.
And went to the tournament, yeah.
So that's what we're going to have to get over. If you're Craig Smith, you've got to find where's your next Nimi Keita? Where's that coming from?
Yep.
If you want to put it in, because Nimi, of course, was Craig's guy. If you want to put it in, you know, Utah terms specifically, you know, where's your next Luke Neville? Where's your next? And I guess I'm naming all these bigs, but, you know,
but again, the
where's
problem,
your next DeLon Wright?
Yeah, DeLon's probably the more appropriate because you were talking about a transfer.
I'm not necessarily even talking about a transfer. You got to find the next guy. I mean, somebody from Europe. I don't know.
I think it's hard to
somebody
win with freshmen.
Somebody who can't qualify.
It's going to be really hard next year to win with freshmen in the Big 12, and I'm not sure he can have a losing season.
Yeah, but if Nerlens Noel somehow falls into your lap, you're not going to say no.
Sure, Jakob Poeltl comes over, yeah. You take him.
Andrew Bogut was really good as a freshman.
Yeah. No, yeah, if so you can find
like,
that guy.
I'm less focused on transfer or freshman. I think that coaches need to be less focused on all of that, which is really unfortunate for the high school athlete, to be honest, because I think a lot of people out there are thinking along the same lines as you are, Ben, for lots of programs. Well, go out and get the transfers. Well, that kid in high school who's like, oh, man, I thought I was going to go play for a Pac-10 school.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-10, so I'm talking like it's 1987. Is now like, wait, you mean I got to go slog it out in the Big Sky for 2 years until anybody of these people are going to take a look at me? Now the answer is yeah. But if you were going to find one of those freshmen who you thought had a ton of potential and was slated to slog it out in the Big Sky and you thought, oh, well, everybody's totally underrating this guy, why not a freshman? I don't think you necessarily need to be focused on transfers per se.
I suspect that's where they will go. Speaking of Utah.
Yeah, because there's the heat on the coach and that's the easy thing to do.
Right.
So, I mean, I wanted to say this with Michelle, but we ran out of time and come to think of it, we're out of time right now. But it's the same story, what they're talking about. We've been seeing it forever, Ben. It just used to be JC players, not transfers. It used to be a coach feels the heat, got to live up to a high standard, got to do it now or you're going to lose your job. Well, oh, next year half the team's JC guys. And by the way, nobody ever cared about the players they ran off to get those JC guys before. Nobody cares. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a desperation there. So, yeah, you're probably right, all transfers. But I wouldn't, if I were coaching, I wouldn't limit myself to that by any means.
That is a coach that's talking with somebody and a coach that has more runway. If you have a lot of runway, sure, don't limit yourself to anything. But if you have a short runway, you've got to get a quick fix. Quick fixes don't usually come via recruiting freshmen.
You know what I've always thought, though, about that mentality, Ben? And I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think we're talking about the same thing, why coaches do that. Well, then if you're the athletic department, just move on. If you're hemming and hawing and going, oh, I guess another year, and he's turning over the entire roster, so his likelihood of doing whatever your expectation is extraordinarily low, or at least you think it is, well, then go ahead and move on. Why does a coach get into the position where he doesn't have a runway to do what's right for the program?
You just
talked about the runway. It's entirely true. I've got no runway.
Right.
And so I've got to go recruit all these transfers that may or may not be good. Well, why don't you recruit a freshman? Well, I don't have that kind of time. Well, that's no way to run a program. So why not, if you're the athletic department, if you really are hemming and hawing and go, well, Craig's got to deliver next year, well, then you've already moved on in a weird way.
Mark Pope did it. Won in the Big 12 his first year with a bunch of transfers that came in.
Wasn't a bunch of transfers.
There
were a bunch
of
guys back.
Jackson Robinson, Ali Khalifa, they had a lot of transfers come in and had success with them.
They had some keys. But
yeah, it's not a 12-man turnover, but you've got to bring in guys that can come in and play right away.
But what's Utah looking at? Pretty close to a 12-man turnover.
You got
to
get Davon Smith back.
It's totally different. But it's a good example. I'm not trying to discount your example because it's not terrible. They waited a year on Pope, and that's
in the exact same situation.
That's looking okay.
Going into a new conference.
But now, in a weird way, Pope set these high expectations, and did he just fluke it out?
Absolutely.
Or what? So, I mean, even then, it's not – there's people probably down at BYU that will flip on Pope and think he's not the guy halfway through next season.
If BYU starts out 1-5 in conference play next year, absolutely.
But that's my point, is I don't think you should be making big-time athletic department decisions based on that, like, minute-to-minute results. Like, if you are doing that, aren't you doing it wrong? Like, if you are doing that with a coach, don't you think, like, well, this coach probably isn't my guy? Because I just made my decision based on whether he beat Wyoming in January?
Yes.
Well, I don't think that's the right way to do it.
I agree with you. I'm totally with you.
Stay tuned. More next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. Also, Win Ticket Wednesday every week here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Next week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can get a pair of tickets to go see Tim McGraw at Delta Center on April 5th. That's coming up. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Did you ever take AP Art History, Ben?
I did. Not AP. I took it in college. I took art history.
Art history in college. Were you AP classes guy? You were kind of a high school hooligan. You might not have been AP guy.
So I tried in like seventh grade. I did some of the ELP stuff, and I was a little overwhelmed by the whole change from sixth grade to seventh grade, elementary to junior high, depending on when your kids go to school. That was for me. And then I did it again a little bit, like my freshman year of high school. And then I didn't take the test. And I was like, why am I taking these hard classes to get out of college work and then not even taking the test to get out of the college work? It was just like, well, it's what my friends were doing. So I was trying to keep up with them. It's like, oh, well, that was a stupid idea. So I just bogged myself down.
I took a couple. And in hindsight, to your point, I would not have taken them because I think I would have enjoyed them much more had I taken them in college.
Right.
Like, why am I trying to get out of this credit or whatever where I would enjoy this class way more? Like, AP Art History is a great example. I would have enjoyed that class way more in college.
I enjoyed college significantly more than high school. So learning in that environment was more conducive for me than the distractions of the high school life. So,
Sarah, I bet, had like 20 AP classes.
No. My sister made that mistake, and both of us, our goals were to go to BYU. And none of her scores transferred, even when she got like a 3
really?
Or a 4. Like, even if she passed the test, they didn't transfer. And so I took 2 just to like say that I took them, but like wasn't worried about trying to get the good score because I knew if I didn't get like a 5, it wasn't going to transfer as a credit because BYU sucks.
I'd be
sucks
so
like that.
Bent if I took all those AP classes and they're like, sorry. I'd be so mad.
Yeah. I got to a point in college, and probably you did too, is like, you know, not that I wanted to take every class I had to take to graduate, but I generally enjoyed the classes I took. I liked the opportunity to learn, especially in some of those situations. In fact, like, I'm glad I didn't get out of English classes. I ended up being an English major, which is, you know, the AP classes I took in high school. I'm glad I took English courses in college. That's where my best learning came.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. Some of the generals you had to sit through. Like, did you ever have a class where you thought you were interested in something, took the class, and you're like, no, I'm not. Because
yeah,
that happened to me with geology. I was like, oh, yeah, rocks, that's cool. And then I took the class, and I was like, you know what? This is not for me.
Not for me.
This is not it. All right, stay tuned. Mitch Harper is going to join us coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.